I don't know about you, but now that it's warming up, my schedule is packed, and having a great story to keep me company really takes the stress out of it. That's why I subscribe to Audible. As a member, you can choose one title to keep every month from their entire catalog, plus the latest bestsellers and new releases. I'm about halfway through The Wolf in the White Van by John Darnielle. It is a gorgeously written thriller with a time travel plot unlike any I've ever come across. I can't wait to hear how it ends, and you can check it out with me. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WWHL or text WWHL to 500-500. That's audible.com/WWHL or text WWHL to 500-500.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Welcome to the Bravo Clubhouse for the podcast edition of Watch What Happens Live with me, Andy Cohen.
She gives us soaring vocals and incredible beats, and in a rare first tonight, we won't be switching seats. It's Watch What Happens Live at home with Mariah Carey now.
Andy Cohen's got the 411, king of midnight sun, MCAC, on Bravo TV. Tell me, chatty to his body, get there.
Welcome to Watch What Happens Live at home. I'm your host, Andy Cohen, with a guest who isn't just an iconic singer-songwriter. She's a math pioneer who redefined the equation E equals MC squared. In that spirit, let me toss out a few numbers. She's sold over 200 million records, achieved 19 number one hits on the Billboard charts, and boasts a 5-octave range. Her new book, The Meaning of Mariah Carey, and her album, The Rarities, are both out now. It's Mariah Carey, everybody. Hey, Mariah.
Hey, Andy. How are you, my love?
I'm great. I'm so excited you're here. We have so much to talk about. You know, Mariah, this is a book about identity, race, survival, ambition, and faith. And it is getting rave reviews. The Guardian called it Fitzgerald-esque. And I am so proud to have published it through Andy Cohen Books. Congratulations on the raves from the very tough reviewers, but also from your fans who are so excited by your honesty and everything that you've put out there. Tell me the most important thing that you want people to take away about you from this book.
Well, it's interesting because I think most people would have expected, and not that we don't get into certain other glamorous topics or whatever, but would have expected it to be predominantly about stardom and fame and all of those things. But really it was, and I said this, the intention was to emancipate my little girl self who wasn't famous, who didn't have money, who didn't feel worthy. And I know where, you know, we need to be playing games and drinking and doing all that stuff. But, you know, just on the level of like anybody who never felt like they belonged or may not have felt that they could succeed because the odds were against them or they were different. I feel like it's a survivor's story and not everybody realized that about me. Or even if they weren't a fan, I think there are themes in this book that all people can relate to.
Well, I am absolutely not surprised that readers can't let go of their copies of your memoir. I have a round of burning questions about details that the Lamley is obsessing over, okay? I want to talk a little bit about Derek Jeter. I love that section of the book, and the relationship seemed to be very romantic to me. It was your first after Tommy, and it artistically inspired songs like The Roof. And when you read the book, one thing that caught my eye was that his being biracial seems to have sealed the deal for you. At that moment in your life, why was that important or notable?
Well, it was really the main thing about that moment for me. And I talk about it in the book because what it is that just knowing there was somebody else out there that was like me, because I did feel so ambiguous and like such an outsider. And yet I was living my dream, but I didn't feel really connected to anybody. And I was in an abusive relationship, and I knew that that was over and it was only a matter of time, but he became a catalyst for me, because all my life when I was a little girl, I was like, you know, one day maybe I'll meet somebody that's similar to me that won't, not necessarily judge me, but yes, judge me, but look down upon me because they feel superior to me because I'm not one way or another enough for them. Because I hadn't met a man, certainly I hadn't met a man or even a little boy when I was growing up that was the same in that way, because his mother's Irish, his father's black. They're a beautiful family. I have nothing but glowing things to say about them. I love his sister. His mother gave me a book by Maya Angelou. They're really great people. So I know there was like this weird thing, oh, she's trashing him or she said this or that. I think he's painted in a very powerful way.
Me too.
Yeah.
I think
it's not the romance of my life. I know you loved it when there was more of like a romantic angle. It was totally romantic.
Well, but no, but
that was through my eyes.
What I loved about it was that it was this moment that you had after this horrible relationship, and you came out of it, and it was exciting, and it was, you know, I mean, listen, Derek Jeter's the big hot baseball superstar. So I was happy for you because you were finally getting something great. It was a moment.
At that point in the book, we need a little bit of a moment.
It was a moment, and we love a moment.
Moment, and you know what? I'm grateful to him that he exists and that it happened in that way, even though it was a brief, fleeting thing. It was important to the reason it's in the book is because it was important to the meaning of me, and certainly to the first emancipation of me. Prior to the record Emancipation of Me, but really to that butterfly era.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that I would have been able to extract myself from the situation I was in without some hope. You gotta have a little bit of hope.
I didn't realize, and then I read in the book, you originally wrote Hero for Gloria Estefan to sing for the movie Hero. I mean, on a scale from 1 to 10, how happy are you that you kept the song for yourself?
Yeah, I'm very happy, and I do credit my ex-husband, who then ran Sony Records, for not only encouraging me to keep it for myself, but, you know, basically he told me what to do back then. So
right.
But he did, you know, say, yeah, you need to keep this one for yourself. And he was right.
You know, you mentioned him. Your first wedding had a star-studded guest list. I mean, Streisand, Billy Joel, Ozzy Osbourne, De Niro as the best man. What is one thing that you remember about that day?
I was exhausted. And I was really not into the concept of marriage. But I said, if we're going to have to do that, because that's where it was going, let's have a fabulous wedding. Why not?
And you did.
But I remember the one thing I really remember the most, the best memory, were the fans outside the church.
Right.
And so it was really my moment that I shared with them that resonates with me. And that's really a theme throughout the book, the fans. You know that my fans mean everything and have done everything for me as a person, as an artist. You know, it's the chapter's called A Family. They became a substitute for my family.
In 1996, you performed at the American Music Awards. You had a very intense moment with Tupac in the parking lot. Looking back on that, do you feel like something could have happened between the two of you if the circumstances were different?
Yeah, if I jumped in the car and didn't go back to the show.
All you had to do was jump in the car. You delve into a lot of your complicated family history. You know, you characterize famously your relationship with them at one point to you being an ATM machine with the wig on. I keep wondering, have you heard from your mom about the book?
No, but I want to make it clear I'm not wearing a wig.
I could eyeball that.
At the moment.
At the moment.
No, really, that's its own thing. And when she decides, if she decides to read it, I hope she feels okay about it. Certain things about her that I've always, always acknowledged, her talent as an opera singer, and the fact that she encouraged me to believe in myself. I don't agree with everything she's done with her life. I don't necessarily understand it, but I'll always take care of her. I still take care of her to this day. And it's difficult to talk about that stuff, but it is in the book. And that's why I had to write a whole last book to get it all in perspective.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't want to give it away, but the section about what actually happened around the time of Glitter is really, was really shocking to me, and your honesty surrounding it and the fact that nobody knew this story until now, it's really incredible, and I don't want to give it away. And I guess it was around that time that infamous TRL stunt that you had to promote Loverboy happened, where it was kind of planned and produced. And I just wonder, like, did Carson Daly ever apologize to you, or did you ever see him after the fact?
And you know, I feel bad about that, but I don't feel bad about it because
it happened.
It happened, and look, I can't. So, you know, we're all dealing with it now when we're on Zoom calls and people are talking in our ears and the producers are sometimes talking, and then you're having to be here with the guest or with the interviewer, however it goes. And back then, that's how it was. He was listening to his thing, and then it was a stunt gone awry, as we say. It was not like, oh my God. And by today's standards, it's like nothing. It wouldn't even get picked up in one place. I brought an ice cream cart to TRL and had a little moment because I was, you know, trying desperately not to allow a huge corporate entity and someone with an agenda to destroy my career. So, you know, that moment was a really screwed up thing. But again, like, I look at it now and I'm like, oh, please. They acted like as if I had, like, stripped butt naked and on TV, which today would also be a normal everyday occurrence. And might I add that people are staging their own stunts, their own meltdowns, and all their stuff just for the attention. Like, back then, if you did that, it lived on forever. It was like, oh my gosh, did you hear about this? We're lucky if they stay on one subject for 24 hours in today's world. So
yeah, right.
It's a different time, but to live through that, and it's interesting that you brought up Oprah before, because I really feel like she had such an understanding as someone who was very much affected by tabloids and by that intensity of that time, you know, whereas now I think we can all agree that they don't really mean
absolutely. I have some great viewer questions for you, starting with Danny Pellegrino, who said Mariah co-wrote Where Are You Christmas, sung by Faith Hill on the Grinch soundtrack. It was rumored that Mariah originally recorded it, but it was blocked by Sony. Does her version of the song exist somewhere, and can we hear it?
That is a great question. I do love that song. I am a writer on that song. And I did do a demo vocal of it. I have to dig back into the vault to find my version, because I actually had my friend Tots, Marianne, sing what I did over to send it to them. So they had the reference vocal. But I just don't like to send out my stuff like that, because it's usually, it was a rough, but it's cool. I want to find it. I want to do it.
Krista L. said, after reading about all of the control that you faced in both your career and your first marriage and the issue that you had with your mom, around the time of Glitter. I'm curious how you feel about Britney Spears and everything going on with her conservatorship. There are some interesting parallels that I never thought of until I read this question.
You know, I don't feel comfortable commenting on anybody else's personal situation, particularly when it seems so intense. So I would just send love.
Jenna P said, what does it feel like for your lambs to finally hear the original version of Lover Boy with the Firecracker sample on the rarities? And do you think the Firecracker sample sounds better in Lover Boy or the other song it was in?
I never really heard the other song that it was in. I only heard about it because the sample was used after I had already used it. And so I had to change the entire song and re-sing it and reproduce it. But I don't know that it, I'm actually glad it happened because I like the version with Cameo better. So it almost ruined my life and almost killed me that happened, because then I had to work doubly hard and stuff. And it, you know, really, really, really was a horrible thing to have happen. But here we are.
But that has to be so gratifying that now that people can hear the song as you intended it. I mean, that's a victory for you.
It is. But you know what? In retrospect, I don't even like that version anymore. I mean, it's cool. it's cool.
Isn't that funny how that works, though?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Because it's the same song, but I had to redo it. And I love the Cameo loop so much that I'm happy that I did. But back then, as I said, it literally almost destroyed me that happened because of the chain of events that occurred afterwards.
Right. Biraya Paradise, this is a real deep cut here. It says, are Lullaby and Subtle Invitation also about Derek Jeter? They say Lullaby uses some of the same melody and lyrics as The Roof, and the end of Subtle Invitation mentions Anytime You Need a Friend, which was Derek's favorite song.
That'll have to be discussed in the next book.
All right. You are a groundbreaking solo artist, but you're all about the bold ensemble when it comes to your wardrobe. So I want to play something called Butterfly or Fly Away. I'm going to run through some of your vintage looks. If you're into it, say butterfly. If you hate it, let it fly away. Okay, butterfly or fly away. Slinky diamond dress with shimmery tights at the 92 AMAs. You dig this?
I remember that dress, and I don't like the stockings with it. It needed a bra, but it was backless. And it's I could remix that to make it work. Also, I don't love it with the curly hair. I think it would have looked better with straight hair. But, you know, that's my critique. So I'll give it a butterfly.
All right.
I don't loathe it.
Okay, what about this? Here you are at the 97 VMAs. You look great.
It's Butterfly. That was, I think, the release week of Butterfly, so.
Here's another one from that release week. Here you are at the Butterfly album release party.
I'm gonna let that one fly away. I don't love the top.
Okay. How about here you are at the 98 Essence Awards?
I like that moment. It's a chocolate brown with a gold. Yeah.
Yes.
I like the curly hair with.
Okay, here you are at the 99 Billboard Awards. You're giving us some macrame, which I totally dig.
Macrame away. We'll give it a butterfly.
You also look like $1 million. So here you are full on butterfly at the 2000 VH1 Divas red carpet.
Well, here's what I'll say about this. The jeans, that was such a miss in terms of people not giving me the credit for cutting off the top of the jeans, because that started like a whole thing. All these designers, all of a sudden I look up, not to take the credit for it, but I'm taking it because it's true, that then everybody had the ripped off the top of the jeans. And I'm like, you're welcome. So just because of that, I'm keeping it. Also, I do think that top is by Escada and it was a butterfly. So, you know, some people may not like it, but I'm going to give it a butterfly.
Okay, one more. Streetwear chic in London, 2003.
It was probably too cold for that ensemble. But, you know, I don't hate the picture. It's okay.
All right. Butterfly. And before I let you go, Mariah, it's time for
This Day in Bravo History.
Tonight's moment comes from Watch What Happens Live, episode 113. It aired on this day in 2009. Jenny Poulos debuted a song that later became our theme. Watch.
Jenny, you are not just a great assistant, you're also an aspiring rapper, and you've composed a song for us. Oh my God.
Oh. Go down on the going down, the mind candy. Watch Andy, cause Andy Cohen's got the 411. King, king of midnight fun. MCAC. On Bravo TV, don't be tardy to his party. Get there faster, watch flipping out. Another housewife disaster, Atlanta, Jersey, OC, hey. No, this schmata ain't she, bash away.
Away, everybody.
Nice. All right. I mean, wow. And Jenny got applause from Mariah Carey, everybody. I want to thank Mariah for being here. Sunday night, we're back in our studio. Watch our after show on Twitter now. Thank you, Mariah.
Thank you. Last words. I think I was right about the cover being the back cover, but let's let the fans decide, because that was supposed to be the cover, but you wanted a glamorous picture. So I went with the corporate vibe, but I would be curious to see what people think.
You know what? I gotta tell you something. Yeah. I think you're right too.
Do you?
Maybe the paperback.
See, I told you guys.
Maybe the paperback.
Paperback.
Watch us on Twitter.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Say hello to a new era of mental health care. Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support 100% online. You'll experience the all-new Cerebral Way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both in a safe and judgment-free space. Your Cerebral therapist or prescriber will outline a customized plan with clear milestones along the way so you can get to feeling your best. With Cerebral, you're not alone in your mental health journey. We're here to empower you to live a fulfilling life. So take that first step towards a brighter future and sign up today at Cerebral.com/podcast and use code WONDERY to get 15% off your first month. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. Offer ends July 31st, 2024. See site for details.
Hey, everybody, it's the after show. I'm here with Mariah Carey. The book is The Meaning of Mariah Carey. It's out now. The album is The Rarities, out now. And we have a couple viewer questions for you. We have a couple questions from our audience for you. Let's go to the first one.
Hey, Mariah. Okay, so my question is, you were name checked quite a bit on Schitt's Creek. So I was just curious what your reaction to them sweeping the Emmys was.
It was a brava, 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 to quote Lame Team Price. I'm so happy for the entire cast, and especially for Dan. And I just, you know, it was so much fun to work with them little bit during the beginning of COVID when we got together and did our little skit. So, or our Zoom call, I should say. So I was... Couldn't be happier for them.
All right, next one is from Margaret. Margaret, what's your question?
Hey, Mariah, after burying everything in your memoir, including your love for theatrics, would you ever be interested in a jukebox musical of all your songs?
Maybe one of these days. Right now, I really love where I'm at with this book creatively and just in terms of self-expression. So, a jukebox thing could be fun and festive, but probably not now, but eventually, why not?
You write so well about the experience of being biracial and your childhood. What do you want people to know about that? I mean, that's a big question, but you know, the book came out at a very interesting time in our culture. And I think that was something to me as a fan of yours that I didn't understand your experience of being biracial and all of the ways that that affected you specifically in your childhood. Talk to me about that a little bit.
Well, it's been a struggle for me since I was aware that there were, that there was such thing as race. And the only reason I was aware so early on was because it became a subject of humiliation for me as a child. We talk about in the book and the chapter Coloring Outside the Lines when I drew a picture of my family because that was the assignment and, you know, basically got traumatized by the student teachers who thought I had used the wrong crayon because I drew my father with a brown crayon. And, you know, just different experiences as a child where I brought my friend Becky to my dad's house with me and she, you know, the parents didn't know I was black. They didn't know that, you know, she was gonna go to a black man's house. They'd only met my mother and the girl burst into tears because she was so freaked out. And mind you, my father was this gorgeous, tall man that looked like a movie star to me. And then to see that happen, it just changes your perspective on things and it twists it. And I really feel like it's been a lifelong battle, a struggle. But the truth is, we've been working on this book, as you know, for 3 years. So when the world, everything kind of turned upside down this year in 2020, I was so thankful that I had already had this book because, as you know, it was locked by Memorial Day. We already were like done. We couldn't change anything. And it felt so timely. And it's like, I knew people were going to go, why now? Why are we doing this? It's like now because we have the time now, but also thank God it's now because it's so timely. And it's going to help people that are struggling with figuring it out. Even with my own kids, I'm reading chapters, or now they can listen to the audiobook, but to certain chapters, I'm reading to them that are helping to illustrate my encounters with racism and how they can then get have a greater understanding and ultimately a greater reservoir with which to deal with the situation itself, because it's hard. And by the way, like Rocky just got bullied the other day from a white supremacist person that he thought was his friend. It's like insane. So this is the world we live in. And I think, you know, I'm glad that this came out in a timely fashion. You know, it's what it was meant to be.
I'm so curious, by the way, and I've thought it reading the book, which I have a number of times, but also watching the Oprah interview, it really made me wonder if those kids from your childhood, they've got to, I mean, I want to send them all copies of this book and make sure that they read it and they have an understanding. Do you have any knowledge of where any of those people are now? Or do you have at least, you have to have a sense of, uh-huh, check this out, because you knew me then, and here I am now. You know, I mean, there has to be a feeling of that, right, a little bit?
Well, I mean, I think in the chapter, A Girl's Best Friend, we're talking about those girls. It's a very traumatic moment that happened that I never spoke about. I didn't even really remember it until we were doing the work for the book, and like even it was like a year in or something till I was like, oh yeah, what about that incredibly traumatic moment that took place? So do I know where they are? No. Do I care? No. I already had that moment of here I am, and I talk about that in the book as well when I went back to that house. But we're being vague about it because I don't think we want to give it all away, and it's like it's not a soundbite. But I mean, the chapter itself is important. And I think anyone who wants to kind of, I played it for Monroe, my daughter. I let her hear that. And it was really sweet. She goes, mommy, those girls, they feel so bad now. I bet they wish they could be your friend. And just like, you know, it was so insightful for a 9-year-old girl to be able to say that, you know? So if nothing else, that my kids have this to learn from.
Do you think you'll release the alternative album you did in the 90s?
That is available in a few places somewhere, because no one knew that it was mine and no one knew that it existed until now. But it was so much fun, and it is just for laughs. Like, it was hilarious. Yeah.
Mariah, Madonna Bible said there's a long-standing internet rumor that Mariah recorded a duet with Madonna and William Orbit that was co-written with Patrick Leonard for the original soundtrack of Glitter called Angel of Fire. Is there any truth to this?
No, I have no idea what that's about.
Okay.
It sounds cool. I never heard about this.
David from Orlando, Florida said, I know you're close friends with Lee Daniels. He hinted the other day when you sent him your memoir that he can't wait for us to see the film of it. Could the meaning of Mariah Carey be made into a biopic? I mean, this seems totally inevitable.
I believe so. I mean, it is written in a very visual way. So I don't think it's a stretch. The only thing is, it is long, and we'd have to figure out the exact format. But yes, Lee and I did have a really nice discussion, and he's working on an incredible movie right now. So, you know, it's exciting. The prospects are endless, really, because I especially with the audiobook, I feel like it's already, the narration is already created. It's already there, you know what I mean? So it could be used in many ways, and It's a nice new chapter, and I'm glad that we're having it together.
Okay. Noelle A. said, Toni Braxton recently said that you and Mary J. Blige should do a versus battle. Can we expect to see you on Versus anytime soon? If so, who would you choose to do it with?
No, I enjoy watching the versus battles, but it's not about a battle for me.
Did you watch Patty and Gladys? You did. I saw you in the comments.
Yes. They're queens. And
that was amazing.
So good.
And I love it that I commented and said, Mariah, you should cover this song. You go, I already did, but it's Patty's song.
So it's like, of course, I sang it for her for an award show in honor of her. Yeah.
All right. Mariah Carey, thank you so much for your time. The book is The Meaning of Mariah Carey. It's out now. The album, The Rarities, is out now. Listen to her narrate the book on Audible, too. For more, click on BravoTV.com. Thanks for listening to the podcast, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the show. Remember, new episodes go live Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure you're subscribed. Have a great rest of your night.
Once upon a beat. Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me,
DJ Fuse,
and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.